This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's hump day. You have crested the peak of the week and it's all downhill from here. Put a smile on your face. Even though we're going to have to talk about more communist street violence in the wake of this ICE shooting from earlier today, obviously, I'm going to get to that pretty quickly here. In fact, I'll get to it here in just a couple minutes. We're going to touch on Al-Qaeda. I know that may sound like it's out of left field. It may not be out of left field. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Stay with me on that. We're going to talk about our voting advantage. We're going to talk about the world of make-believe, the theater kids. I'm going to do a ton of emails tonight. We have widespread censorship from the Biden administration all coming out now. None of it should surprise you. And, of course, we have our crappiest country in the world tournament halfway through next hour. In case you forgot who it is, here's who it is.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between North Korea and Rwanda. Brought to you by Nuclear Weight Loss. Try our starvation diet.
Chris, there's something wrong with you and Corey. There's something deeply wrong with both of you. There's something wrong with you. Anyway, we're going to get back to the task at hand, the topic at hand. The shooting today at an ICE facility. Just to catch you up, maybe you're behind, maybe you've been busy at work all day. I'm sure you already have heard. I'm sure you already know. Another street animal got on a rooftop, high-powered rifle, started shooting up an ICE facility. Did not, by the grace of God, kill any ICE agents. That's a very good thing. Did manage to kill illegals, which is not good. I mean, I know we're all against illegal immigration. We want them arrested. We want them deported. I know all that, but still, that's not good either. That's terrible. We don't want people shooting up things. And here's the truth. The conversation we're about to have is one we have had before, and as much as it pains me to say it, it is one we are going to have again. We now live in an era with the foreseeable future. This is going to happen more. You and me, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk again and again and again about the latest street communist who murdered somebody because he feels like he's been ordered to do so, mentally broken, twisted. He hears Nazi, 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 Nazi. Somebody who decides they don't want to live anymore and wants to try to die a hero in the twisted, twisted mind of these demons and goes and kills people and then does what they usually do, fires a bullet into his own head on his way down to hell. Today isn't the end. Charlie Kirk wasn't the end. I told you months and months and months ago that this was coming. I told you, I warned you it was coming. I could see it coming a mile away. Now, I know we have a bunch of new stations. I know we have a bunch of new listeners, and some have heard this before, some have not. Let me explain exactly what has happened, and it's going to take me a little bit, but let me explain. First, we have to discuss the mentally shattered people in our society, how and why that came to be. Now, there's a laundry list of reasons we could go into, but the truth is, in the internet age, it is much, much, much easier to get mentally broken and just totally shattered, have your soul taken away. I'm not one of these people who complains about the internet at all times. I'm not. I understand the wonders it has given us. But what, that phone in your hands, the smartphone, the one you're holding in your hands right now, the one you're listening to the Jesse Kelly show on, possibly, that phone, I want you to think about it this way. That phone is at an intersection, and it's not a four-way stop. It's a thousand-way stop. There are roads here and roads there and roads there and roads there and roads there. Everywhere you look, there is a road. And some of those roads are wonderful, wonderful roads. Hey, here's a road right here. It's going to tell me about local elections. It's going to help me organize things. Oh, look at this road. It has Bible verses on it. I can find out about missionary work. Here's another road. I'm going to find out about a workout plan. There are wonderful roads. And there are very dark, demonic roads. Roads that lead straight to hell. And I mean that completely. Roads that will take you straight to hell. You start traveling down that road, and you stay on that road long enough, your humanity will disappear. Your soul will just be broken beyond belief. And you will turn into a monster. This happens routinely on social media sites. Again, I want to stress, I'm not being your grandpa ranting against social media. I have Twitter. I have Instagram. The show has a Twitter account. I have social media. But social media sites, they're a place where broken people not only can find each other, broken people will escalate the brokenness in each other. This is something about human beings that is undeniable. If you look around, you can see it. A happy, content person will spread it. They will want people around them to be happy and content. And a miserable, bitter, angry person will spread it. You have someone like this, you know, don't you? Don't you? In your life, in your family, maybe at work, maybe at school, you have known people like this. For whatever reason, they're broken and they're bitter. And let me ask you, how do you feel every time you have a conversation with them? You feel worse, don't you? A little bitter, a little angry. That person, every time they call, you hang up the phone and you're just in a crappy mood. Well, what happens is these people, and it's not always young people, it does happen in young people a lot. Happens in old people too, by the way. These people find each other on social media and they just trade bitterness and anger and misery and bitterness and anger and misery. And it turns into this toxic stew that snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. Are all of these people on Discord or Reddit or whatever other social media site, are all of these people going to turn into killers? Of course not. Some will just hate their lives. Some will be miserable. Some, by the grace of God, will come out of it. Some they'll take a variety of paths. But if you create enough of these people, it is inevitable that there will be some who lash out in violence. Inevitable. Then you add in the mixture of all the pharmaceutical drugs people consume. Go look at America's consumption of antidepressants. Now think about this. We are easily the wealthiest, most powerful country in the history of the world. Easily. Our poor people have air conditioning. You go over to Europe, you're lucky if you walk into a restaurant or even a hotel that has air conditioning. I remember we were in Prague, I think it was. And we were down by that river, one of the rivers, I forget what it's called, that goes right through Prague. And they had lines of these hotels along the river. All of them had all their windows open and whatnot. And I was talking to the tour guide about it. Why? And he said, oh, there's no air conditioning in any of those. They're just trying to get a breeze go through it. Our poor people have air conditioning. We have so much. And yet we are pilled out of our minds on antidepressants. We have mentally broken people who now can easily connect because of the internet with other mentally broken people, and it gets really, really bad, really, really fast. That is that's part of what we're about to discuss. It's about to be about communism and street animals and elite animals, and it's about to be that. But that is part we have to understand, because part of the reason these things continue to happen is there's essentially an army of terrorists ready to do these things, ready to carry out attacks, ready to murder. We'll continue in a moment. Speaking of murder, abortion is that, no question about it. It is. And I know you hate it, and I hate it, and we want it to stop. But how do we make that happen? We overturned Roe versus Wade, and yet we have as many abortions now as ever. How do we stop it? You can change laws all you want, but if you really want something to stop, you have to change hearts. Preborn changes hearts. And they do this by introducing that mother to her baby through an ultrasound. Mothers, these young mothers, they have convinced themselves, again, through a toxic stew of lies, that it's a clump of cells, it's an inconvenience, it doesn't matter at all. She hears that heartbeat. It becomes her baby. It goes from something to kill to something to protect and love. And Preborn will give her that ultrasound for free with your help. $28 from you. But you, it's tax deductible, remember. You can give as much as you want. Give them a grand. I don't care. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. I mean, I know it's a dark Wednesday, but look, we're going to talk through it, and we're going to work through it, then we get some emails and some other things. That's just the way it's going to be. This is going to happen again. Communist street animals are going to kill people. So I just talked in the opening. We're going to talk about why we are where we are here. First, we covered how easy it is to get mentally broken in this society. Through things like the internet, a way, way, way over addiction on antidepressants and SSRIs. So you already have these people who are, they're ripe for something. Now, let's set those broken people aside for a moment, and we'll get to Democrats, elected Democrats, Democrats in the media, and regular old street Democrats like your liberal Aunt Peggy. Revolution. If you are going to have a revolution in a country, I don't care what country it is. I know we're going to talk about America here, but I don't care what country or what period of time. You want a revolution. You want to topple the government, bring the country to its knees, and then, of course, you always envision yourself as ruling it afterwards. That's how all revolutionaries are, but that can be set aside for a moment. What is the idea? Topple the government, bring the country to its knees. I want you to think for a moment. Doesn't matter what the country is. I want you to think, can I have a revolution without breaking the law? It's an obvious point, but you see what I mean? To have a revolution, to fight a revolution, means breaking the law of the country you're trying to topple. We had a revolution here in the United States of America. We were under British rule. We had a revolution, the wonderful American Revolution. We threw the tea in the harbor. We started shooting British people. We started breaking the law. Revolutions involve breaking the law. American Democrats are communists. I know that's hard to accept because your grandpa wasn't a communist when he was a Democrat in 1980. I get that. It's not 1980 anymore. If you are a Democrat today, you are a communist. Go look at all the polling, what they think about socialism, what they think about capitalism. These people are communists. They are. I'm sorry. I know that's hard. They are. And a communist believes in revolution. In fact, they believe in revolution at all times, without end, I believe is how Lenin put it. They are always fighting a revolution. They are revolutionaries. If you think about them like Democrats or liberals or they lean left, then you'll never understand what's actually happening. They are trying to bring the entire country down to its knees. That's why they open the border. That's why they do the things they do. So, fighting a revolution from inside the country, trying to bring the country to its knees means violence is a necessity. A necessity. It's not that Democrats are okay with violence. It's not that at all. They want it. And we continue to do this thing, this pathetic thing on the right, where we say, tone down the rhetoric, tone down the rhetoric. Why would they tone down the rhetoric? It's working exactly the way they want it to work. It's not an accident. This is a montage put together by Western Lensman. This is not an accident. This is a condition, or a conditioning exercise is what how I want to say it. A conditioning exercise. If you repeat something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, it gets cemented in the minds and the hearts of the people who consume it. They don't want it to stop.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will of course be identified. This is not the 1930s.
Secret police who are masked, who are intimidating, who are scaring people. These Gestapo-like tactics.
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
When you compare the old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, it does look like a Gestapo operation.
You posted on social media that, quote, ICE is acting like a terrorist force.
ICE agents, they are coming and kidnapping and disappearing people on the streets of the United States.
But this terror campaign of having masked people rolling up in vans. But we also have to talk about the agents themselves that are carrying this out. If you have any decency, quit now. Because just doing what you were told has been the justification for some of the worst horrors and crimes against humanity.
Masked agents of the state in unmarked vehicles are terrorizing communities. They are disappearing people.
One has to assume they're hiding something, or they're hiding misbehavior, because otherwise, why would they be wearing masks and denying their identities?
If everything is legitimate and proper, why are you wearing masks to hide your face?
Not look like America. We are going to require them to show their faces. If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to hide.
They want people to die. And let me explain that, because we have to travel down several rabbit holes here. You already know, because we've talked about it endlessly, that the mass migration, the mass importation of foreigners is the central part of the communist plan, because it is the only thing that can truly defeat you, outnumber you. Bring in 10 illegals for every one of you, bribe them, and you have the country. So what's happening right now with deportations is a threat to everything the communist holds dear. That is why they have escalated right now. I will get into the nitty-gritty of that, and then we'll come back to more Democrat rhetoric in a moment. Before we do that, speaking of terrorism, everyone remembers 9/11. Or if you're young enough, at least you've read about it, you've heard about it. Tunnel to Towers was born from that terrible day, because they realized fallen first responders, their families are so devastated. And there is so much anguish and stress that comes when dad the cop, dad the fireman doesn't come home, mom the cop. And then they expanded that during the GWAT, during the global war on terror, these Gold Star families. You get a knock at the door instead of your dad back. Tunnel to Towers has been paying off the mortgages for these families for a long, long time. They have an immaculate charity rating for a reason. They are mission-focused. They're not trying to line their own pockets and fly on private jets with your money. They take your $11 a month and they help widows and orphans. Help them help widows and orphans. T2T.org. T, the number 2, T.org. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So we're about to dig into what we were just talking about, how you know, mass migration of foreigners is a central part of the communist plan to bring down the country. Democrats are communists. They're revolutionaries. There's an entire internet full of mentally shattered people. We got all that. That's just a recap of the last half hour of the show. Okay, we got that. So, you know how Donald Trump designated Antifa as a terrorist organization, a domestic terrorist organization? I'm going to read something for you, and this is from the reporting of Andy No. Andy's one of these guys who's been reading up, studying. He's been assaulted by Antifa multiple times. And this is directly from the one of the websites they use. What's it called? Crimethink.com. 7 steps to stop ICE. There's a lot going into this, but I'm just going to read one of them for you. In fact, it's number 6. Create no-go zones for federal forces. Quote, if ICE agents hesitate to enter certain areas without backing from police, National Guard, and Marines, that will limit their operations. The more resources they have to commit to every raid, the fewer attacks they will be able to carry out, and the more expensive their power grab will be. You're welcome to go read the rest of this yourself. This is the deportation efforts are viewed by the communists, elite communists and street communists, as the end of their everything. It is the end of their everything. You have to understand how critically important illegal immigration and legal immigration is to communist revolutionaries. It is their everything. And so they, right now, they think their everything is under attack. They think their entire religion is being snuffed out. I'm going to play this for you. This is from back in April. You've heard it on this show 1,000 times. I might play it 3 times in a row until you burn it into your head. This is how this works. Elite communists and street communists are 2 separate groups. Media, politicians, those are elite communists, billionaires. They have things they want. They understand they need some law breaking and some violence to get the things they want. Street communists are the useful idiots, the drug-addled morons who spend too much time online popping antidepressants, believing all the lies. The street communists are the ones who will march forward and commit the acts of violence and break the law when given orders. When Democrats talk like this, they're giving orders. It is interpreted by that broken area of the internet I talked about earlier. It is interpreted as marching orders. No different than if you're in the Marines and your platoon sergeant says, there's that hill. Take your fire squad and fire up and go up the hill immediately. Fire squad. Take your fire team and go up the hill. It's an order. Okay. That's how it's interpreted. Now, she lays this out quite specifically. You've heard it before. This is Representative Jaya Powell, a true elite communist congresswoman from the state of Washington.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting a strike ready or street ready. And part.
Now, you got that part. I'm just pay attention to the next part. This is the part that matters. She starts talking about risk tolerance. And hey, when things are more dire, you're going to have to take more risks. She's as vague as she can possibly be so she can stay within the law. But the communists, the street animals, they hear this and they are 100% clear on what she's saying.
Part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance.
Stop for a second. Let's dissect that part too. Part of that is being able to understand our own strength. Okay? What does she mean by that? What is she saying? Being able to understand our own strength. What strength? You don't have the presidency. You don't have the House. You don't have the Senate. You don't have any of these things. You don't have ICE. You don't. So what strength are you talking about? The strength of the communist she's talking about is a willingness to break the law with the large numbers of street animals they have. For her, that is the strength. You don't have, in her mind, the institutional power, but what you do have are legions of violent demons who are willing to commit acts of violence. That is what she means by understanding our own strength. Hey, we might not have the House or Senate. We might not have the presidency. We might not have this. We might not have that. But we do have a standing army of demons ready to march forward. And that is our strength right now. That's what she's saying.
Because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have.
That's a call to action. And did you hear what she played? Oh, I'm going to play it again. Trust me.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases.
Risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases. Okay, so that begs the question, what's the severity of the situation? Here's the likely Democrat nominee for president.
That's happening in the United States of America. Masked men jumping out of unmarked cars, people disappearing, no due process, no oversight, zero accountability, happening in the United States of America today. These are not just authoritarian tendencies. These are authoritarian actions by an authoritarian government. You saw...
Sounds like we better escalate the risk tolerance, no? Hey, how much risk tolerance should we have for this?
Raising money, but also raising awareness around how Donald Trump is trying to rig the midterm elections and how I fear that we will not have an election in 2028. I really mean that in the core of my soul, unless we wake up to the...
An authoritarian government, masked agents disappearing people. They're going to cancel the 2028 election. Sure sounds like I better increase my risk tolerance. Again, compare this.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases.
Compare that with this.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will of course be identified. This is not the 1930s.
Secret police who are masked, who are intimidating, who are scaring people. These Gestapo-like tactics.
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
Those mentally broken people on the internet, the ones we talked about in the opening of the show who took dark paths and found other animals like them on the internet, where they talk about dark things, they joke about killing people all the time. Half the time they're not joking about killing people. Then they are told that, hey, you've got to increase your risk tolerance. These are dire times. And then they are told Nazi Gestapo, Nazi Gestapo, Nazi Gestapo. You are young, you're bitter, you have nothing to live for, you have grandpa's hunting rifle, you grab it, and before you check out of this planet and blow your own brains out, you go try to take some Gestapo agents with you. And the pattern I just laid out didn't end today. We're going to have, you know what, Chris, maybe you should just record this whole first hour, because we're going to have to replay it again and again and again, because the last street animal didn't die today. And Democrats aren't sorry. And the rhetoric will not stop because they want this. This is what they want. Now, we'll touch on regular Democrats in a moment, then we'll finish this up and get out of here. I don't want to do this whole show. We'll get to a bunch of emails and stuff. Before we do that, I want you to also remember that the vast communist network in this country, it is vast. It has had corporate sponsorship for a very long time. Isn't that a terrible place to be? Corporate sponsorship. The LGBTQ demons? Yeah. Go look at how many companies fund it. Fund it. Remember all those Black Lives Matter riots? People dying? Go look what Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile were doing during that. Do you want to pay that company for that? I don't. I switched to Pure Talk in large part because of my disgust with the mobile companies. Switch to Pure Talk. They fund veterans. They care about this country. They hire Americans. They'll charge you less for your cell phone. Switch to Pure Talk. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month right now, by the way. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So just a couple things to wrap this up, and then we're moving on. I'm not doing this shooting for the whole freaking 3 hours because we're not going to do it every time one of these animals kills some people. It's awful. We also know, I already read you the statistic earlier. Well, not earlier in this show, but I've read it to you several times before, that Democrats, by a 70-plus percent margin, they feel like it's okay when their political opponent dies. They feel like it's a good thing. They celebrate it. That is something that's almost non-existent on the right. I think it was in the 20s, the 20%. It's just not a common thing. You know how hardcore I am, how anti-communist I am. If I woke up today and saw that somebody had killed AOC, who I can't stand, I would think that's freaking awful. That's awful. I would condemn it immediately. That's awful. We don't need to do that. I hate that. And I'm sure you're probably the same way. That is not shared on the other side. When you don't believe human beings are God-breathed, sacred things, when you don't have that basic belief system, then human beings, all of them, are just cogs in the wheel. Either you're useful for the revolution or you're not useful for the revolution. And if you're not useful, die. If it helps the revolution, if they're hindering it, whatever, die. This is how Democrats think. And so this bleeds over not only into the street animals, into the elite Democrats. They're not sad when people die. They think it's a necessity. They like it. This is a very common Democrat way of thinking. And anybody who tries to push back on that, I would argue you're either lying or you have never lived or worked in Democrat circles. Anybody who is around groups of Democrats, maybe at your work, maybe you live around them, anybody has heard them casually discuss the death of their political opponents, sometimes cheering for it, sometimes making a, quote, half-joking, off-color comment. Maybe someone will kill Trump today. It's how Democrats talk to each other. It's a huge reason so many of them got fired by putting the most despicable stuff on social media after Charlie Kirk got assassinated. You ask yourself, how could you think that was okay? You really put up a TikTok video of yourself dancing after a 31-year-old husband and father died? How could you think that was okay? Because that's how they talk with all their friends. When they get together, they discuss your death and they cheer about it. They discuss Trump's death and they cheer about it and they joke about it. And maybe he'll die. Maybe it'll be a heart attack. Maybe a car will kill him. This is how Democrats talk about their political opponents because they are communists and communists are anti-humans. They're anti-humanity. And it's awful. And the final thing I'll say on this, because we're moving on. They know, again, just like in the wake of Charlie's assassination, they know their revolution looks bad today. They understand they have a job to do. They have to try to fade the heat. And immediately they leapt into action. This is CNN.
We don't know whether this was an anti-migrant shooting because of the victimology who was struck, or whether this is an anti-ICE shooting. And the governor's statements about assassination suggest he has some information that we don't have yet and that may not be entirely clear to authorities. So,
hey, we don't know. They love this fall. But hey, it's confusing. We don't know. Every time it's one of them, they love that line. We don't know. We don't know. The bolder ones, the ones who are willing to step out a little further, they'll take it from we don't know to, oh, definitely a right winger of some kind.
The irony with the writing, the first time we really saw that was
This is MSNBC.
In the crisis.
I meant to stop that before I talked over him. This is MSNBC.
The irony with the writing, the first time we really saw that was Brenton Tarrant in the Christchurch shootings, shooting in a mosque in New Zealand. And he was a fierce, you know, white supremacist and neo-Nazi, and wrote all over his weapon and his rounds very hateful information. So to see this coming from, you know, potentially the other side of the political spectrum is...
Just pause before I let him continue. They were so desperate to classify this as being a right-winger that we went completely around the world to New Zealand and went years ago to find a white supremacist shooting up a mosque. They could have found, of course, any number of recent cases of a communist doing this right here in America, but that would hurt the revolution. Can't hurt the revolution. You have to find a way to pin this on your opponent.
It's a little strange because it is not something, you know, if you are trying to, you know, carry out some kind of message countering, you know, more extreme right-wing stuff. I don't know why you would, you know, use a tactic that a famous white supremacist who has been revered and copycatted over the years by other white supremacists, why you would do that. But it does appear that...
Immediately they leap into action to protect the revolution. Lock shields, protect the revolution. That's how they think. Sick. It's evil. But evil exists. All right. Our email address exists. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, you know what else exists? Round two of the crappiest country in the world, and it's coming up a half hour from now.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between North Korea and Rwanda. Brought to you by Nuclear Weight Loss. Try our starvation diet.
Also, I want to inform you of something amazing that happened. We still don't have a coffee maker. Remember, I went off on this last night about how Chris threw away our old coffee maker before the new one got there, and he's been assuring me for how long now? Days, that it would be Wednesday and we would have a coffee maker. Here I sit on Wednesday night, and boy, I could really use a cup of Joe. Hey, Chris, could you grab me one? Oh, you can't. You said delivered on Wednesday. Well, it's Wednesday, Chris. Maybe you should go check the door. Maybe. Anyway, we're going to get to some of your emails. I want to get out of this next.
This is an iHeart podcast.